The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of warrior peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You need to watch Germany, because those 10 kings are going to come on the scene and going to empower Germany in a way that it's hard to imagine. We need to watch Germany, and you need to keep your eye on Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. So we need to watch Europe, and we need to watch France, and we need to watch Germany. Now Germany is going to be the military head of that empire. The real power is going to be there. But you and I need to understand why this is happening. Do we know what's going on in Germany?
Hello and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Show. This is Richard Palmer standing in for your regular host, Mr. Stephen Flurry. We're coming to you live from our beautiful campus here in the UK at Edstone Hall, just north of Stratford-upon-Avon, that you can see behind me there. And that cold open there, a reminder of just how important it is to watch Germany, how many exhortations that we've had from Mr. Gerald Flurry in his Key of David program, in the Trumpet magazine. And there are so many dramatic news events going on in Germany right now. And Mr. Flurry touched on them in yesterday's show. I wanted to put together several of these different significant events going on right now. In the latest Trumpet print edition, or the Trumpet print edition that went to the January one, we just sent another one to the press. In fact, right before I came live, I've got it's so hot off the press, I don't have a color copy of it, but I just got done recording a Trumpet World segment about that February issue. But the January issue we just sent, that is already out. Mr. Flurry wrote, Germany is about to shock the world with its power. To accomplish this, it needs a strong leader, something it sorely lacks right now. And he also said in there, I believe these recent events will lead to the installation of a strong leader very soon. We need to watch. I think this is about to fulfill a prophecy we've been discussing for nearly a century, ever since the late Herbert W. Armstrong began writing and broadcasting in the early 1930s. There are some really dramatic statements from Mr. Flurry right there. And, you know, that's the January issue, but those statements would be a month, 6 weeks or so old by now. And we've seen some really dramatic events out of Germany, most notably over the weekend, where we had that horrific car attack on Friday evening. I think we have some of the footage there that was released, where you saw this car coming into the market. And it is amazing. I mean, the death toll of five is tragic. And one of them was a little boy, 9, 10 years old. But you see that footage, and it is amazing it is not higher. It was a really shocking attack. Over 200 people injured. And this is just the latest. We have a lot of material going where we've written over the years about these different attacks that we've seen going on in Germany. You look back in 2016, and we had Angela Merkel on the front cover of our German Trumpet print magazine. And the article that was relating to was called Germany, Migrants, and the Big Lie. That was, well, it was by Mr. Brad McDonald and myself. Really, it was his idea. A lot of the truth there was covered up, and I helped dig some of the truth out there. But I mean, ultimately it's based off God's revelation in the Bible. But you could see the way, even back then, mainstream media, politicians kept lying about the attacks. I mean, Germans have been lied to about what has been happening in their country for almost a decade now. And attacks like this one over the weekend, I mean, it grabs attention. It is dramatic. We have another article up on our website right now, another Christmas market attack, a forever changed Germany by Joshua Michels. And I think he, you know, he sets it up in the context of how important these Christian markets are, and you know, the impact that it's going to have and continue to have in Germany. But I think just the fact as well, though, that Germans have been lied to for so long is really going to make this this important. And going back over some of those older articles, I mean, you'll see what I mean in just a minute. So we wrote this article, Germany Migrants and the Big Lie, after this New Year's Eve attack in Cologne, or Köln in Germany, where you had around 1,000 migrants mobbing a train station. By the time we sent that to press, you'd have 300 sexual assaults reported. I think it even went up after that. It was more and more. But this is what the police report wrote, or stated. It says, as in years past, we're looking back at a mostly peaceful New Year's celebration. I mean, we're used to that in the United States, a mostly peaceful protest. I should have gotten the clip with the town burning down behind, and the mostly peaceful protest description from the mainstream media. And Germans have had the same thing. Mass rape, mass sexual assault, 300 reports of sexual assault, 1,000 migrants grabbing women, and the police report says, well, it was mostly peaceful, a mostly peaceful New Year's Eve, a mostly peaceful night out. And the news media just didn't want to talk about this. And the politicians didn't want to talk about it because of migrants. And in the wake of this, I mean, this was so big, they couldn't really hide it. In the wake of this, you had members of police federations and things like that saying, well, look, we're seeing a big crime wave from people from a certain background, and I'm not really authorized to talk to the media about this, but I feel like I need to, coming out and describing those attacks. And at the time we wrote, and this was all really Mr. McDonald's words, what happens when the majority of Germans realize they've been deceived? What happens when the majority of Germans lose confidence and trust in mainstream leaders? Frustrated and angry, the German people, as any people would, will seek an individual, a political party willing to heed their concerns and solve Germany's migrant crisis. And this is, we're seeing this. This was written 2016. This is 8 years ago now, nearly 9 years ago. But Germans are realizing they've been lied to for 8, 9, 10 years. And as we'll look at in a few minutes, it's having some really dramatic effects. It says many of the Germans becoming disillusioned with mainstream politics and turning to these groups are not hardcore neo-Nazis. And this is very... Germany's heading for an election right now, and the Alternative for Deutschland is second place in the polls, 20%. And, yeah, normal everyday people are turning to a party that was once considered a neo-Nazi, like only for the far right. And we'll look at who this party is in just a minute, but, normal everyday Germans are turning to them. This article continues, they don't want to persecute the migrants or see them imprisoned, beaten up or killed. They're not extremists seeking genocide. They're regular, sound-thinking, rational people, many of whom have terrific empathy for those suffering in Syria and elsewhere. These people are simply concerned about the impact millions of migrants will have on their nation, its institutions, its infrastructure, its economy, its culture, and on the German people. They are concerned about Germany's future. But Angela Merkel's government refuses to give serious attention to these concerns and refuses to tell the truth about the impact the migrants are having and will have on the nation. And this article says, if she continues to do this, Germany's chancellor risks helping transform the German people and Germany itself into something very different and much more frightening than the democratic, peaceful, friendly nation we see today. The Merkel government's handling of this situation is turning the German people into a ticking time bomb. The more disillusioned, frustrated, and angry the German people become, the more vulnerable they will be to radical politics and radical leaders with radical solutions. And in today's show, I want to show you that that has happened. And we'll look at some of these radical leaders. And then Mr. McDonald writes, common sense alone tells us an explosion is coming, but the Bible specifically warns us what will be the result. A radical change in German leadership. That is where we are very quickly heading in Germany. A radical change in German leadership. So that was in 2016. Then in February 2017, we had Germany's 9/11 on our front cover after you had the infamous Berlin Christmas market attack. So that was on December 19th, 2016, where you had a Muslim in a truck mowing into a Christmas market, killing 12 people. And that was one of the biggest attacks that they'd seen in Europe and in Germany. But there's a long list of other ones. You had the Charlie Hebdo attack in 2015. You had 12 people killed. There were the November 2015 Paris attacks with 130. Brussels bombing, 32 killed. I mentioned Cologne already. Nice massacre in France, 84 people were killed. There was an attack with an axe. You have all of these. Now, I mean, I'm reading this. I'm looking at this list from our 2016 Trumpet print edition. These attacks, I don't know whether they'd make the news anymore. Certainly not the international news the way they do now, because they've become so common. Like, 2-3 people get stabbed in Germany. That makes German news, but I don't think here in the UK, I don't think in the United States, we even hear about it now. But back then it did. You had that axe attack, 5 injured, Munich shooting, 9 death, Ansbach festival suicide attack, 15 injured. And there's a lot of these big attacks going on. And Germany back then was crying out for a response, crying out for answers, crying out for somebody to do something. And I think that's where this attack on Friday is most significant. There were bigger attacks. The Berlin attack was much bigger. What Paris has experienced is much bigger. But what this attack shows is that Germany's response so far has been insufficient. The things that they've done to protect itself haven't worked. I mean, what has Europe done? We've put up concrete barriers. Diversity barriers. That's the phrase I've started to hear called for these barriers. I love it. I mean, I'm going to make sure we call them that. I mean, that is true. Diversity barriers. We won't deal with migrants. We'll release people out of our prisons here in the UK. And we'll just try and live with it. And yeah, any town center you walk into now, often there'll be a pedestrianized zone and there'll be barriers there to make sure people don't drive through. But then, well, what did you see with the Cologne attack? That the barriers, well, they had to leave a gap in the barriers to allow ambulances through, to allow emergency services through. That just let the attacker go in. That's where the mainstream discourse has gone in Germany, the mainstream press, the mainstream media. They don't really want to get to the hard issues, the real issues. So they've talked about, well, why were these barriers incomplete? Why wasn't there some system to open and close for to allow emergency vehicles through rather than just leaving a gap? And yeah, okay, maybe we'll have some law now in Germany that mandates better barriers at mass event, but that doesn't get to the core of the problem. I mean, I saw another thing this is from Germany recently. This really illustrates the way that they're not getting to the core of the issue, the way that the mainstream are avoiding the issue. So, yeah, you can stick that on the screen, George. This is a bag search in Germany where the police might have even posted this. So this is how they're keeping people safe in Germany, is the police are going up to old ladies at Christmas markets and saying, well, can I search your handbag? And, look at this now. They found a knife. They're going to pull this fearsome weapon out of this bag. It's a Swiss Army knife. Well, we can't have old ladies carrying Swiss Army knives. So the police say, look, we're going to have to confiscate this. And actually, if this had come up under different circumstances, you'd be in trouble. We might have to give you a fine. So we're going to have to keep the penknife. I mean, how absurd. How many Christmas market stabbings have been caused by old ladies with penknives? But the authorities will just do anything to avoid getting to the real issues. And this is what Mr. McDonald wrote in our in that article about Germany's 9/11. He said, in Berlin 19th, noble dreams met grim reality. Being open-minded and multicultural, altruistic and welcoming of migrants can be wonderful and empowering. Until an Islamist terrorist hijacks a lorry and plows into innocent bystanders enjoying a Christmas market. There will be more terrorist attacks in Europe, and with each attack, this reality will grow more evident. As it does, Germans and Europeans will increasingly substitute post-war values with basic human urges. Tolerance will be replaced by prejudice, multiculturalism by patriotism, the community spirit with a greater determination for self-preservation. Berliners, the German people, and even Europeans in general will increasingly grapple with a choice between who they want to be and who they need to be. They might want to be progressive, open-minded, and tolerant, but the message from Berlin and all the other attacks is they need to be more cynical, more unforgiving, more confrontational. This, you can be sure, is a trend that will affect us all. And then, I'll read that a little bit later. There's one more quote I'll get to there. But this is happening. This is starting to change Germany. This is empowering. The mainstream is refusing to talk to this, so people are going to other groups. And the big other group that they're turning to is the Alternative for Deutschland, the AfD, the second most popular party in Germany. Now, I did see where they had the first polls published in the immediate aftermath of this attack, and the big headline from the mainstream was basically relief that it didn't lead to a big boost to the AfD. I think there was a little bump. And they're still on 20%. But the other big thing you had with the AfD over the weekend is Elon Musk caused this big storm, praising the AfD, showing all of these different tweets. He's saying only the AfD can save Germany. And Mr. Flurry touched on this yesterday. It is very understandable that he's saying this, and it is dangerously wrong. This is amazing to me to see the AfD's turnaround since November and how it's been taken at face value. I wrote an email to somebody. I think it might have been the day after Donald Trump was reelected, and kind of saying, one crazy thing for me is to see the AfD turn on a dime and jump on board the Trump train. They are not MAGA. The AfD is very anti-American. That is really at the core of who they are. And they've kind of been ambivalent towards Donald Trump before the election. They were torn. They kind of went both ways. They did like that he was anti-immigration. They did like that he was anti-establishment. But this idea of make America great again, it is part of the core DNA of the AfD that America is a force for evil in the world. And they believe that Germany should side with Russia to bring America down. And that NATO is evil, and that that Germany has been unfairly maligned, and some would even basically blame diversity on America, which, some of that is true. America has pushed that, the woke, the radical left in America. But it's kind of this conspiracy to bring Germany down through multiculturalism, and that it's a deliberate policy from America to weaken Germany. And then very quickly after November, they kind of got on board with the MAGA movement and started much more actively promoting themselves as the German version of MAGA. And it's not there. It's not true. I mean, I wanted to show you, this is a clip that really made me sit up and take notice of who the AfD really are. It's from 2017. It's from January 17th, 2017. It's in a beer hall in Dresden. And this is Björn Höcke, who is one of the top AfD leaders. And it's in German. We've kept it short. It's the original is about 2 minutes in length, and we kind of condensed a couple of highlights. For those of you listening on radio, I'll summarize. But it's worth listening to, and it's worth listening to the applause at the end. But this is AfD leader speaking in Germany.
Wir Deutschen, also unser Volk, sind das einzige Volk der Welt, das sich ein Denkmal der Schande in das Herz seiner Hauptstadt gepflanzt. Und anstatt, liebe Freunde, und anstatt unsere Schüler in den Schulen mit dieser Geschichte in Berührung zu bringen, wird die Geschichte, die deutsche Geschichte, mies und lächerlich gemacht. So kann es und so darf es.
I mean, it's that reaction and that cheering that I think is significant about that video as much as anything else. Where he says, well, we've set up a monument of shame in the capital of Germany. He says we shouldn't be setting up Holocaust memorials. It's a stupid coping policy. He condemns remembering the Holocaust. He says, this is making German history look bad. We need to change how we teach Germans. We need to change how we teach people in our schools. We need to change how we teach German history. And the room, like, this is what they've been wanting to hear. They're all on their feet and they're all chanting, Deutschland, Deutschland. This idea that we should stop remembering the Holocaust and we should fundamentally change how we look back on German history and World War II. And that's just not a one-off. I mean, this, and what to me is kind of shocking is Bjorn Höcke, after that speech went out in 2017, he was almost kicked out of the party for that. That was considered too far. Now he's right at the heart. And the people that are kind that almost kicked him out of the party, the woman that led the charge to try and kick him out, she was hugging him on the stage last year. And it doesn't make the news when they talk like that anymore. But this is not at all unusual. So I think, well, you had another AfD leader. There it is, Alexander Gauland. He said, if the French are rightly proud of their emperor and the Britons of Nelson and Churchill, we have the right to be proud of the achievements of the German soldiers in two world wars. Which I have to be a little bit careful because we Trumpet World, this other show, I won't talk about that a bit more later, but this other show that I host, we do get that translated and sent out in French, so I try not to pick on the French too much these days. I would take issue on being proud of Napoleon personally, though. He still instinctively supports that leader of the Holy Roman Empire. But then he says, well, we have the right to be proud of not German's history, but German soldiers in two world wars. So he's saying we need to be proud of what German soldiers did in World War II. That is this party. I mean, it was just last year, the AfD leader, Tino Chuprella, I find it fundamentally problematic to always link commemoration with the question of guilt. And he said, historical guilt should no longer determine the way we act. You know, we need to get rid of feeling guilty for our past, and it needs to change the way that we act. Germany needs to act with no restraint from its history. And that, there was no outrage at that statement. That was kind of normal by now. But if you really want to look at and understand the AfD, one place you have to go, and an excellent place for that, is a magazine called Compact. Now, Compact was banned earlier in the year. They're back now. I don't really want to get into the rights or wrongs. Like, should they be banned? Should they not? You look at the way Europe is clamping down on free speech, and I think there are reasons to be concerned about banning it. And I personally, I would rather be able to see what they are and what they're saying. But you know, some of their scroll up, George. Let's stay on the first. Yeah, go back up. There we go. So you can look at some of their covers, some of their different things here. So. If we go back up again, if we can stop. It's a video. Okay, he's not controlling it. But they have. You look at some of their issues, and it is just shocking. And it's a new picture of a new interpretation of their history. I think the most shocking to me is a special issue that they have called the Death Camps of the Americans. And this accuses. It has a whole article all about how Dwight Eisenhower put German soldiers in prisoner of war camps and concentration camps. Like, this is the history that they're putting out, that Eisenhower imprisoned Germans in concentration camps. And the this is what Compact wrote about German soldiers. The German soldiers fought mostly chivalrously and honorably in the Second World War. And they said there were only a small number of criminals, and quote, offenses were usually punished severely by the military justice system. So in the Second World War, the war that had the Holocaust and 6 million Jews murdered and Eastern Europe deliberately starved and all kinds of what, well, they were mostly honorable and chivalrous. And yeah, there were a few number of bad apples, but they were punished. But America put German soldiers in death camps and concentration camps and tried to kill them. Then they have another issue, Dresden, the dead and the perpetrators and the trivializers. And they make a big deal about Dresden and the bombing there. They call it Anglo-American bombing terror. And their article there talked about the mass murderer, Winston Churchill. I mean, this is my point about Elon Musk, is I don't think when he's saying, like, yeah, what Germany's mainstream is doing is crazy. And the AfD make good points when they criticize migration. But when Elon Musk comes along and endorses the AfD, like, he doesn't realize they're endorsing a party where a lot of the members say that Winston Churchill was a mass murderer and that Dwight Eisenhower murdered German soldiers in concentration camps. another article that they had their lost homeland. Or that was a cover, a special issue. And there they talked about the unspeakable suffering of the 40 million Germans expelled from Eastern Europe and the, quote, martyrdom they had to endure. And it reminds me of Hamas. Like the way that Hamas attacks Israel and then tries to get the sympathy of the world when Israel strikes them back. And yeah, like I think Israel does a very good job of avoiding civilian casualties. Tragically, they occur and it is sad. But who, so yeah, you get some Palestinian children die. Who's really responsible for that though? It's Hamas. Like they, that war would not have started. That violence wouldn't be there if they'd have not gone out and tried to kill Jewish babies. And Germany, you know, they go, they invade Poland and not just militarily conquer them, but try to forcibly starve them because they want to depopulate Eastern Europe so they can move their own population in there and have their Lebensraum. You know, that's what Nazi Germany did. I'm sure not every single German that was already living in Eastern Europe before that war started was on board with that. Yeah, there were probably quite a few that weren't. And it probably is tragic that they then had to leave their land that they'd grown up in and maybe lived in for a couple of centuries and be forced to go back to Germany because the Poles didn't want them for neighbors anymore after World War II. But whose fault is that? Like, I do not blame the Poles for that. They treated the Germans a lot more lightly than the Germans treated them. The responsibility for that lies with Hitler and the Nazis. And I certainly wouldn't call that martyrdom. They had another special issue, Crimes Against the Germans, about how Germany was victimized during World War II. I mean, they do talk about history a lot in the AFD and in this Compact magazine for a good reason. This is a fundamental part of their worldview. Now, right now, they don't necessarily say, hey, like Hitler is a good guy. It's this trying to present like everyone in World War II did evil things. This is the kind of the narrative. And then another of their special issues was something like Hitler's Wall Street backers. You know, okay, well, Hitler might have done some bad things, but ultimately it was the Americans at Wall Street that were behind that. And we put people in concentration camps, but Eisenhower put people in death camps too. And we were all bad, but Germany has unfairly been given the blame. And Germany has been unfairly singled out and kept down by the Americans after World War II, instead of having our rightful place dominating the continent. And therefore, Germany needs to ally with Russia. And therefore, we're supporting the wrong side in the Ukraine war. And we need to be on Russia's side so that we can break American hegemony and we can make Germany... Like, this is fundamentally not just part of the way Germany views the past, but part of the way, or the AFD view the past, but part of the way the AFD view the present. And this is where those statements that I read from Mr. McDonald, like, that is exactly what you're seeing. People are endorsing this party that has these extreme views that I think many in Germany that are voting for the AFD, they don't realize. They don't understand the DNA of this thought and what's going on in here. They just want someone to take care of the migrants, and the mainstream aren't doing it, and so they're going to these extremists. I mean, we've got some footage. I mean, they're mainstreaming support for bringing back Nazi symbols. Yeah, put that on screen. This is now an anti-migration protest. But look at the flags in this anti-migration protest. There are German flags, but what you saw there was the flag of the German Empire. You saw the flag of the German Empire there, then you saw the other flag of the cross. We'll come back to this video later. That was a separate clip, so let's go. Yeah. So I just want to talk about the flags. So maybe if we can go back to that first video and play that again. And look at the flag. So the red, white, and black is the flag of the German Empire. And then the cross there's a number of different times it was used, but Imperial Navy. But then also it was the Reich's war flag in the 1930s. So these are flags that are linked with the German Empire and even in some cases Nazi Germany. So it's like, yeah, I completely understand people being out there and protesting about migrants and this problem there. Like, it is a real problem. So no wonder they're out there protesting. I don't blame them for that. But then they're coming to these protests where they're joined by these extreme flags that they probably don't know. They're just like, the people waving it, I think, do. But I think a lot of the other people there, maybe that's like, oh, it's some kind of historic flag. It's doing exactly what we were warning about 10 years ago. It's pushing Germany to support these extreme people. But if you look at the second video as well, this is one that shocked, I think, rightly, a lot of people over the summer, where, you know, they're singing Ausländer Raus, this song associated with the AfD about getting rid of the migrants. And then you see a guy there at the back. He's doing a Hitler salute and a little mustache. But, you know, what shocked people is this is like a wealthy business people champagne event. It's not your typical extremists. So, you know, those statements that we looked at earlier, this is coming true. This is happening. And going back to Mr. McDonald's article that he wrote after that Germany's 9/11 article, he said, "All this indicates that this man will not come to power through the normal democratic processes. Will the Berlin attack somehow hasten the end of Merkel's chancellorship? Will we see a strong man, someone willing to act with power and decisiveness, made chancellor even before national elections next autumn?" Well, I mean, that didn't happen then. I think that Germany continued sleepwalking, but you could certainly see the same thing happening now. And, you know, we started this with a montage from Mr. Flurry saying, watch Germany. I mean, one really consistent warning from Mr. Flurry is watch for somebody to come in through flatteries, through without the democratic process. I mean, we put together just a few of the times Mr. Flurry talked about that on the Key of David.
Now, he's not going to come in by, let's say, a democratic process. He's going to come in and use flatteries and sort of tweak the democratic process, it says here, something like that, and perhaps take advantage of a weak coalition. But he's going to come in by flatteries. So God sees him, well, not the same way the people see him, but he actually gains that power, hijacks that European superpower by flatteries. He apparently puts together some kind of a small coalition, and that's how he moves into power. I mean, he is unusually adept at flattery. You have to be very intelligent to be able to deceive people in high places with flattery. And he does it magnificently. Well, he was never voted into the office, but he came in, got control of all that power through deceit and flatteries. Now, remember, this is an end-time book, and this is an end-time prophecy. It's going to happen again in this end time. A man is going to come, and through deceit and flatteries is going to get control of the Holy Roman Empire and its 10 toes or 10 kings, and not by voting, even though that is their system today. It is not going to, he's going to come in another way.
And all of this, so many warnings here to watch for someone coming in by flatteries, and we could see that so soon. Like this, we read the quote from Mr. Flurry. I think we don't know exactly when these prophecies will be fulfilled. And I guess there were times where we thought it would be fulfilled a lot earlier, but you look at how quickly Syria turned on a dime. Like, this could happen so quickly. All of the ingredients are there. And Mr. Flurry talking about it coming in through flatteries. This comes from Daniel 11 and verse 21, where this is a passage that anciently it's talking about an Antiochus Epiphanes, and you can look through history and you can see that Daniel wrote this, and then a couple of hundred years later you had a leader that rose up in the Middle East called Antiochus that matched this prophecy exactly. And then you can look in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and Jesus Christ cites parts of this prophecy but says that it's for the future. And Daniel 11 and Daniel 8, they all talk about the end time and the return of Jesus Christ. So that ancient Antiochus, he was just a type of another leader soon to come. And it says of this leader that he shall come into power Well, he says that they shall not give him the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And you look at what this means in the original text, in the original Hebrew, I think it is, or Aramaic. I'm pretty sure it's Hebrew for that part of Daniel. It's talking about somebody who doesn't come in through the honor. He's not given the honor of the kingdom. He doesn't come in a regular way. He comes in through flatteries. There's some kind of coalition. And there are so many ways, when you look at the condition Germany is in right now, that you could see someone come in through flatteries. And I think, you know, we look at the AfD and it's a symptom. It's a symptom of rising extremism, of anti-Americanism, of people being willing to support these kind of extreme parties. We're not necessarily expecting an AfD turnaround. Instead, Mr. Flurry is focused on Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg as a very strong contender to be this strongman, who's a member of Germany's Christian Social Union. And so we're not necessarily expecting the AfD to, say, win the election. But all of this is creating the perfect environment for someone to come in through flatteries. I mean, you can have all of the, because you have the AfD rising and none of the mainstream parties want to do business with the AfD, that makes it almost impossible for anyone to win the election. It makes it almost impossible for anyone to have a straightforward majority. It means that you, any election afterwards, you have some kind of complex coalition negotiation. You have the door open for someone to come in through flatteries. So you know, you got that very easily. But then you look at what happened in Romania recently. So Romania had an election. They didn't like the result and they canceled the election. Now, there is a bit more to it than that. I think Russia, there was genuine, real, credible evidence that Russia interfered in that election. Now, I think there's even some later news that I still need to dig through that sheds question marks over that. But there was some kind of strange shenanigans going on in that election. And so they canceled it. They said, we're going to redo this. And I'm sure when they redo it, they won't allow the winner to come back in first place. And you look at that and you look at the way that they accused them of having the election stolen, or they accused this winner of stealing the election and canceling it. Like, you could see something like that happening in Germany, especially if maybe there's another attack or polls continue to shift. You look at all of the discussion about the background of this migrant from Saudi Arabia. And really, you know, he's clearly a mentally unstable person from Saudi Arabia. And to a lot of people in Germany, I think rightly so, that's kind of all they need to know. He shouldn't have been here, should have been deported. Authorities should have been on top of this. But instead, we kind of mollycoddled him. It didn't work out. So that's what his background. But you could certainly see mainstream people looking at that, or the mainstream media, the mainstream government, and saying, oh, there's too much misinformation. There's a lot of misinformation around this terrorist attack, and that's influencing the election. We've got to cancel it. I mean, that's kind of what they did in Romania. And Joshua Michels, again, had an article on our website, and I had him on Trumpet World. He was talking about this, that there is a legal route to cancel the election still. They could still not hold the election, and they could instead just have another coalition government take things over, at least until September is when the next time they'd have to legally hold them. So you could see something come along after the elections, or after the attack, and say, actually, because of all the support for the far right and the quote-unquote misinformation, we're going to cancel elections. And then you have some kind of coalition. No one there would have... Who's a possibility for the chancellor would have stood before voters. Friedrich Merz, I don't think he did not lead the Christian Democratic Union, his party, last time there was an election. There's an avenue very quickly for someone to come in by flatteries. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen or this is going to happen. My point is that conditions are so ripe for someone to come in by flatteries. There are so many different ways that this could happen now. And so really, you know, watch German politics. There are another couple of important reasons to keep watching German politics. We'll take a quick break. And when I get back, I want to keep talking about this on why we need to watch politics.
The Trumpet Daily.
One third of your Bible is prophecy. and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, in that day, in the last days, and at the time of the end. Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today, The United States and Britain in Prophecy.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Show. Sorry, I've been keeping half an eye on the Rumble stream, and my Rumble stream paused a minute or two before the break, and I was a little bit afraid that it had all stopped working and that I'd have to jump up and try and look at something, but it looks like it was just my computer. But that's why I had to try and think of too many things at once there. I should just ignore it and have more faith that it keeps on going. Well, I wanted to talk to you about an important story as well that Mr. Flurry touched on yesterday, but that I want to bring a European angle to that. And to introduce that, I wanted to play another clip from Key of David, this one from 2019.
But what you need to realize, and what we all need to realize, is this is going to affect our lives and your life in a way that perhaps nothing has ever affected it before. It's that important, and it has everything to do with our trade policy and a trade war that is going to do great damage to America. And we need to understand what Bible prophecy says about it.
I think that intro puts a lot of importance on what we've been seeing from Donald Trump over the weekend talking about Panama. And another aspect of that story that has come from a few weeks back from Europe, and he was talking about Europe doing a trade deal with these Latin American countries. Now, I did just want to bring you, this is a quote from Mr. Flurry. In the year 2000, we had Panama on the front cover of our trumpet print after America gave it away there. And there's a really direct statement from Mr. Flurry in that article where he said, "I predict, based on history and the Bible, that the Panama Canal area will be a great curse to America in the near future." And I mentioned our trumpet print that went to press, this one, "Prophecy Fulfilled in Syria," is on the front cover. And again, don't worry, the actual one looks a lot nicer than this. But there's so much in there about fulfilled prophecy. There's an infographic about 10 different fulfilled Bible prophecies. There's an article on why Bible prophecy. But there's a fulfilled prophecy, or a prediction based on history in the Bible, as Mr. Flurry put it, that the Panama Canal area would become a great curse to America. Donald Trump noticed that. Donald Trump spoke out about that over the weekend. I think, you know, Mr. Flurry in that article, he said that he called the treaty signed in 1977 by Jimmy Carter to give that canal away, he called it shameful. He warned that China deceitfully established themselves in Panama even before we left. And he said, "Why is the canal so unimportant to us and so important to the Chinese?" And he said, "Because the Chinese have pride in their power and a world vision." And I think, why is Donald Trump interested in it? Well, because he has some pride in his American power and he has world vision. But so in a lot of ways, yeah, it is great to see Donald Trump talking about that, looking at that Seagate. But I think it's also his statements about the need to for America to potentially step back in and take control of the Panama Canal, they're an acknowledgement that that prediction has come true, that America is that has been cursed by giving away that Panama Canal. Now, I wanted to connect this with what I was talking about in the first half, about watching to Germany and watching for the rise of a strong leader. Because on December 6th, the European Union and the Latin American trade bloc Mercosur signed a free trade deal. So Mercosur, that is, I think that's Brazil and Argentina. It's Brazil and Argentina plus friends, basically. I think like Uruguay is a member, and Paraguay and several others. But that is what it was, signing that trade deal that Mr. Flurry was talking about in 2019 with that clip. Back in 2019, they were very close to signing the trade deal, and they didn't get that signed. But Mr. Flurry said, you know, it's coming and it's going to affect your life. And now they have got that signed. It creates a free trade area of nearly 800 million people. It's going to give Germany access to cheap raw materials. It's going to bring Latin America and Europe much closer together politically. It's going to give Europe another reason to unite behind a strong leader, to become a super state. And this competition over Latin America is going to be really interesting. You know, Donald Trump is saying we need to get control over Panama. You go a bit further south, a bit further away from the United States, a bit more disconnected to the United States, and Europe is moving very quickly to get in there and make this deal with Mercosur. But notice what Mr. Flurry also said in that 2019 Key of David that I think is really interesting.
If this deal is finalized in 2019, well, that probably also means that it may very well be that there's those 27 nations in Europe called the European Union are going to be reduced to 10 nations or 10 kings.
Now, probably I don't in 2019
see how
as well.
This European Union, the way it's divided today, and that includes religion as well, how can it be closely tied to Latin America, which is certainly, you'd have to say, very united in their religion? And the Holy Roman Empire is going to have to become very united in their religion, and that's why, really, it's reduced to 10 nations. That's the only way they can remove the division.
Just a fascinating statement that, I won't go into all of the details, but it's very hard for Europe to, okay, they've signed, the EU and Mercosur have signed this deal, but now every single nation within the European Union has to go and agree to this, or they've divided it up. It's complicated. But the point is, with 27 nations, it's very hard for them to actually get this agreed. The EU itself and Mercosur itself has agreed to it, but now all these different member states of the EU have to sign off. And what Mr. Flurry said back in 2019 was, well, if the EU and Mercosur sign this deal, well, I think that's a sign that in the next year we're going to see a strongman in Europe. We're going to see 10 nations come together. We're going to see some rapid transformation within the European Union to get this deal out the door, because it's going to take some big changes for Europe to get that deal done. And so we've read those statements saying, well, we could see a strongman very soon in the first half of the show from the latest Trumpet print magazine. And then to see Europe and Mercosur do this deal shortly afterwards is really interesting. Like, there are big things happening in Germany. Donald Trump is looking at moving America into its neighborhood. You're getting control of these important sea gates. But Europe is also looking at some of these same areas and this same neighborhood, and they're getting ready to get involved. And as you see rapid transformations in Europe, you're going to see them look very different, act very differently in this area. I have way too many notes. I'm skipping very quickly through these. But Mr. Flurry's warned about this. Mr. Armstrong has as well. So the Plain Truth magazine, this is another very long-standing prophecy from Mr. Armstrong. So in the October 1957 Plain Truth, it says Latin American nations will join in with the European revival of the old Roman Empire. 1962, the plain truth said the United States is going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocs, Europe and Latin America, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. So this is something that has been happening for a long, long time. And that Key of David, I think it was called America is Being Besieged Economically. Mr. Flo ended up writing that up for the Trumpet print edition as well. And it's a great study in all of this that's going in, you know, the importance of sea gates, the way that this is going to change the world. He also has this great little booklet, China's Dangerous Move Against America. So that article that he wrote in 2000, it kind of formed the basis of this article, but then he expanded on it. And there's just some tremendous information in here. And I think some mind-bending prophecy in here that I'm just going to have to go over some other time. I've got a few minutes left. I just wanted to talk about Syria a little bit as well. You know, if we're talking about watching Germany, yet watch German society, watch for the rise of this strongman, watch as Germany moves geopolitically, watch what Germany and Europe are doing in Latin America, but also watch what Germany's doing in Syria and in the Middle East. I think if we've got a succinct clip from the Key of David this weekend, I think we have. There were a lot of clips that we were going to play, but I think we will give you just one where Mr. Flurry put a lot of emphasis on that on this weekend's Key of David.
Syria's civil war has raged for 13 years. Assad, together with Iran and Russia, has inflicted great evil on the Syrian people. Many Syrians really want help from Germany. So this is hurting Russia. It's hurting Iran because they're losing their naval bases in the Mediterranean Sea. They'll be kicked out. And that's being done even now. They're going to be just kicked out. And that's going to hurt a lot. And it's going to really lift Germany. And they're going to begin to be even more aggressive. And you're going to see how they start World War III. That's what they've done every time they've had the Holy Roman Empire.
And it's dramatic events underway in the Middle East. And German foreign policy, they had an article last week that I thought was very good. And they said the federal government, meaning the German government, is taking a leading role in the race of Western powers to have the greatest possible influence on the new Syrian government installed by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. But what I like that gets across is there is a race to have to influence this government. And in a lot of ways, Germany is leading that race. I want to write some of this up, but you look at the way that European nations are getting ready to open embassies, in particular Germany. Germany has been donating a lot of money, not just to Syria in general, but specifically to the region and the province where this new government and this new, well, terrorist offshoot is coming from. So, you know, Germany's waiting for a strong leader. We talked about that in the first half, but there are still very strategic moves that are happening. Germany moving into Latin America, Germany moving into Syria, that we need to make sure that we watch. There are critical prophetic events underway here. And I wanted to finish with just a very quick plug for a show that we have that we can help you do that. So Trumpet World, if you don't know, we have another video show. Mr. Flurry said I could plug that a little bit to you on the show here. We have our own Rumble channel. We're on the Trumpet channel on YouTube and on podcasts. But we have a twice a week, we have a Wednesday show, and I think this is the first time we're announcing it. We will also be going live now on Fridays. Our Week in Review show will be live so that we don't get overtaken by events. That will be at 8:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 2:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And so many of these subjects. I had an interview with Joshua last week where we talked about German politics and the rise of a strongman. We had a whole show, or a good chunk of a Week in Review show, where I talked with Andrew Miller and we had a long conversation about Latin America, their reaction to Donald Trump, Europe moving in with Mercosur. We have had shows where we've tried to go through the basics of Syria. All of these big world news events we try to get to on that show. So if you want more content, you can go look and listen to us there. Mr. Stephen Flurry, I think, will be back tomorrow on this show. You can send us any feedback, comments at letters at letters@thetrumpet.com. And as we say on Trumpet World, keep watching your world.